English that what makes a person to a chola? He doesn't have a sakana means he's not in a life-threatening situation. He's not even in a remotely life-threatening situation. He's not even in a cumulative life-threatening situation. As if this situation will accumulate over time, it'll make him into a chola shesh sakana. So what is a chola? How do we define a chola? So Shulchan Aruch says that he's nafal l'mishkav, that he feels so bad that he has to lie down. Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim say, in addition, if a person is feeling so ill, that's a choli b'chol gufoy. And the Yorcha Shulchan explains at greater length that it means a person that is not fully functional. What's nafal l'mishkav? He's somewhat dysfunctional. What's the lashon Yorcha Shulchan? Sheyesh. She'ein kol elu advarim heim b'chayle shemutul b'mita she'yoshev al mitase she'ein b'yachotu l'tseis b'hesach b'esai. He's unable to ambulate, to get around. Or he says, unlike she'yesh chalushim mechushim she'yesh lem shiul k'yoytziba, there are people who are very shvach, they're very weak, they're not feeling well, but holchim v'noysim v'aysim kol asakim, ein lem derech, that's not a din of chayle. So either it could be nechlash kol gufoy, but it's a person, he says a person is nechlash b'chol gufoy, even if it's because of pain. But he's walking heavy, shvach, weak, so then dinoy can not follow mishkav. So that seems to be the, what's pshat in a chola, what makes a person to a chola? He's not fully functional. The Achronim say similarly, even if one part of his body is not fully functional, that would also be a chayla she'ein basakana. It's interesting that amongst doctors as well, for example, psychologists, when is a psychological issue rise to the level of being concerned about it? If a person becomes dysfunctional as well, he's not fully able, as long as a person is. What's the difference between being despondent and clinically depressed? What's the difference between nervous and having an anxiety disorder? So function. If he's able to function fully, all right, so then that seems to be the approach. Doesn't mean that a person will decide or not decide, but whether to try to resolve it. So it's a similar idea, that if a person is not mitafkeid, that's what the modern Israelis Svarim have it. So that makes it. What's the din of a chayla she'ein bo sakana? So Shulchan Aruch says one is allowed to do, allowed to violate Shabbos al yedei amira la'akum. The Chazal gave us an iser. It's our next topic. After we finish up refuah, is Chazal said it's also to have goyim do malacha for us. So Chazal remekel that for a chayla she'ein bo sakana, they were makel that Amir L'Nachri is mutter. We can have a goy get medication to help out a chayla she'ein ba sakana. Kind of freaking question that comes up now. Let's say a person's heating doesn't work and it's a cold winter day. So Chazal say, I call chayla yitzel tzina. Anybody can get sick if it's too cold in the house. So everybody is mugder as a person can become a chayla she'ein ba sakana. If it gets too cold, someone can ask a goy. So in these cases, one can ask a goy directly. One doesn't have to be merambis the goy. One doesn't have to tell the goy that they're not feeling well and they can't get the medication. No, directly. It's an isid rabbanon. And then Shulchan Aruch says, in addition to the hadin of Amir L'Nachri, one can do what we call a shvus to shvus l'tzerech mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch quotes three different shitas as to whether we would be makel on drabonon stam nisa drabonon for a chola. Do we say b'mokim tzarle gozu be'rabon? So you do find in the Sifri Apoiskim that they sometimes will be makel even on one drabon. The position of the Mishnah Berurah, it's really Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that we're only makel on a shvus to shvus of mokim mitzvah to do a drabbanon in a way that's a little bit different, ad rabbanon ayidei shinoi, or that would be in addition. In other words, there's two different kinds of the rabbanon ayidei nachri is that's loy begufoi. But if a goy is not, another alternative is shvus to do ad rabbanon, to do a shvus, to but b'shinoi. So that would be, that's mutar l'tzarech mitzvah, and Chazal said that tzarech achoyle shein basakona, that is in the same category. That, and the Mishnah Berurah then records that that was v'chein kosav. He says v'chein posak ataz magen avram v'chein kosav agra shedei azu ikar shei das reva poiskim. Now the Mishnah Berurah says that if one can do a shvus to shvus makim mitzvah, one doesn't have to try to find a goy. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying that a shvus to shvus makim mitzvah is hutra, not the chuya. Right? That is a discussion amongst the poskim b'derech klal. Even the din the rabban makim tzar goes be rabbanon. So Shlomo Kluger is a tshuva that is also a hutra. But this Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate that a shvus to shvus, and the Mokim Choyli says that is Hutra. So I don't know if you can derive from this Mishnah that he holds a Bederach Klal, that every time he was Shvus to Shvus, the Mokim Mitzvah. But and in addition, the Mishnah Berurah points out are also being makel on Tiltul Mutzah, because the Ravar writes Mutter Loimar Leni Yudi Lasos Tavshu Lakotan She'ein Loimar Lechol the Stam Tzorchei Kotan Kachoy L'Shem HaSakona Gavim. A little child has the status also of Kachoy L'Shem HaSakona. So a little child, if they are in need of something, so they're in the category of a chol l'shem sakana. So you can ask a goy to cook. So we learn three halachas from this rambam. One is that a kotan is begeder chol l'shem sakana, and then we learn that tiltul muktzah also, because once the goy cooks, the food is muktzah, and once the goy cooks, it's mishalakum. So we learn three halachas from here that the Mishnah Berurah that the rambam paskins that tiltul muktzah is mutter l'chayla. And Bishul Akum is also Mutter L'Chayla. This interesting point over here is that this is one of the places where there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. What's the din Matzoi Shabbos? A goy cooked for Chayla Shein Basakana. So the Chayla is allowed to eat it. What about on Matzoi Shabbos? Can a Bori eat it then? Because once we were Mekel in Bishul Akum, so is it not Bishul Akum, and therefore it's Mutter? Or do we say no? We are making Bishul Akum for the Chayla. So that's a steer in the mid between Shin Chav Ches and Shin Yud Ches. The Mishnah Berurah over here in the Sha'arat Tzion says that a healthy person cannot eat it. That it's only for the Chayla that we're making. And in Shin Yud Ches, the Mishnah Berurah paskin that a Bori is allowed to eat it afterward. So apparently, Rav Moshe Shurmach points out, he says he himself didn't think of such an earth-shattering stirum, because in Shin Yud Ches it could be where there was a Cholish Yesh B'Sakana. So Bishul Akum Cholish Yesh B'Sakana, maybe Mutter altogether. And Bishul Akum Cholish Yesh B'Sakana was only Mutter for the Cholish, not for Bori after it. So he thought he wasn't so taken. However, he does say that there was a sefer called Sichos HaChavetz Chaim that the Chavetz Chaim's son wrote, and he said there sometimes there are steerus in the Chavetz Chaim in Mishnah Berurah, because it wasn't written all by the Mishnah Berurah and by his children as well. They say historians say it is the most successful committee the Klal Yisrael ever had, that actually produced the Mishnah Berurah. It was the Chavetz Chaim and some of his child and son-in-law. However, I do believe that it says somebody that Chavetz Chaim reviewed the entire sefer. So apparently, in this sefer, Sichos Chavetz Chaim, the son says, "I'm aware of this stira," and he suggests that Shin Yud Ches, the Mishnah Chavetz Chaim did himself, but Shin Chav Ches is one of the areas that his son took care of. So that's why apparently there's a stira that in Shin Yud Ches the Mishnah Brura was more machmir. That was Chavetz Chaim Shita. No, Shin Yud Ches was more Mako. That was the Chavetz Chaim Shita that Bishul Akum for a goy, Bishul Akum for a choyla is mutter for a bari as well. Right, and that is, I believe, that's the Ramah Shita in Yeridaya. That the Ramah writes that Lay goes through, so therefore a Bori can also. And the Vilnagoin argues in this Ramah and says, no, they're Makel just for the Choyla. So the Chavetz Chaim himself apparently passed like the Ramah. And the Chavetz Chaim's son was. The Chavetz Chaim's son passed the Chumah like the Gra. So then the Moshe Shtomach writes, but then he heard from the Chazanish that this is, the Chazanish did not accept the Ha'orah of the son, because he said that the Chavetz Chaim reviewed the entire Sefer, so Chavetz Chaim would have been attuned to it. But the Chavetz Chaim, but the Chazanish doesn't have is not Miyash of the Stira. He says, just doesn't like the idea that. To live with the steer. I don't know. That's why the Moshe Sternbach says maybe you can be Yasha the Stira, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah let it go. Okay, that's an interesting side point. Good. So that completes our discussion on Chayla Sheyesh Beskan Chayla Sheein Basakon. Go ahead.
What do we say in the case of an elderly person? They have non-Jewish aids. Many times. So usually, even they want to get like the normal, like a normal medication, like just to have them function normally. They're always in a case of cholish and basakana. They don't, because you know they can't. Sometimes they can't walk it. They can't. They always. Or they say, I need some over-the-counter medication. Go get it for me on Shabbos. Like even for normal functions.
No, it's in a chanavi. If you use the same parameters.
For them, normal is not normal, or normal is
I think that we define normal activity based on rove people. In other words, that rove people are able to get out of their house and able to walk around, and so they don't walk bikvedus, they have chalishos. So if a person lives neves mishana. And he's always shrach, he's always weak, so he's always the cholish and sakan. Yeah, I don't think it takes him out of the. I don't think it's personally. But it means also that this medication is going to help him. That's a pashtus. Some are a little more makeable. The pashtus is that a person has an ongoing condition. It requires ongoing medication. So he's an ongoing cholish shem sakana. You don't see why not?
But that doesn't mean that he would be able to take an over the counter medication for something else that was bothering him, or does it?
Can a cholish shem sakana?
Meaning, let's say you have some sort of condition that's chronic, but let's say, I don't know, let's say it's asthmatic bronchitis or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have knee pain, can you take Advil?
No, there is a discussion whether a goy could do cold tzeracha for chol l'shem b'sakana. I'm assuming that a goy can do therapy, and I'm assuming that if it will not impact on the chol l'shem b'sakana, whether he gets the medicine at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 8 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not going to matter. He's not going to get better until he has a second or third dose anyways. Then probably should wait. But the next step, and therefore I'm assuming that if it's cold tzirachov, it would not be mekel. But there are, Achronim would say that we are making cold tzirachov for Cholish HaMasakona, so they may go down that road, I'm not sure. You know, once he's a Cholish HaMasakona, so then we are on top with him more. I didn't think that was the pashtus, but I've seen it in some swarm. Good, so now we're going on to the Chumrah. Until now we did Kulis. So, now we're doing Chumrah. So what's Chumrah? It's the Isur of Refuah. Right, that's an important Mushaskan Rabbanus, always in styles. And giving Shurim. Some people give Shurim by doing the Kulis first, so they gain an affinity with the Balabatim, and then they hit, and others do prepare. Others like presenting the Chumrah first, and then they win them back. By come out from behind with different styles and shurim. So now we're going to do the Isur of medication. In other words, until now we've been discussing that pikuach nefesh doicher or matir. And then we're discussing the din rabbanon. Now we're discussing the chazal aser in the Shabbos and Gilman Beis chazal med exera that if a person is a healthy person. But Mechush Balma, a Bori be Mechush Balma, he's a healthy person, but he's not feeling well. So that means he's functioning normally. Then Chazal said he's not allowed to take medicine. In other words, as a person, if it would be a Tuesday, he'd stay in the office, he'd stay in yeshiva. So now that it's Shabbos, so he has less to distract him. But he knows that he has a headache. All right. So if it would be a regular day, he would press on through, he would learn through the headache. Right. He has knee pain. He has a back pain, but it doesn't change the way he functions. So now Shabbos is more aggravating. He's less; he's not distracted by things that normally distract him. So then the halacha is he's not allowed to take medication because he's why is that? So Chazal say because they were afraid that it would end up bringing him to be to shikas samimonim, and shikas samimonim is an easy day to take anything and grind it down. So that's an Isur Teichin. So Chazal understood that people, there are certain things that get people very, very nervous. So not feeling well gets people very, very nervous. So a person becomes overly attuned to his needs and may end up, that's what the Ran explains it, Odom Bol Al Gufoy. So therefore they said, Chazal said that one should not take medication. Rav Waldenberg in one of his Shuvas points out in Chelik Ches was the eighth volume of the Tzitz Eliezer was the volume where Rav Waldenberg made his major splash in medical issues. All along, even in the earlier Shuvas, he was very involved in medical issues because he was the Rav of Shaari Tzedek. But in the eighth volume, he published Ramat Rachel, which is the record of the series of shurim she gave in Shaari Tzedek to the to some of the older classic Shaari Tzedek doctors, and I think it's mostly revolving around the text of the Aruch HaShulchan. So in Chelek Ches Simon Tesvav, I remember that was out of print Azalman Ashuk, there were years and years and years where one could not get the Tzitz Eliezer and one could not get Simon Ches and Chelek Ches, and the Chelek Ches was the first that was reprinted. When they began reprinting in Tzitz Eliezer, they reprinted Chelek Ches as a separate volume. Didn't match the old set, the new set. It was a totally different binding. But it was a very important sefer. So there, he points out, that the Rishonim already point out, and he thinks it's Pratt and Rashi, that the way to understand this Gezeira, the way that it's usually said is Gezeira Shema Yisachik Samavonim. And we're afraid that he needs a pill. The only way to get the pill is to grind down the herbs. He runs out of pills. He'll grind down herbs. Onum bol, al gufay. So Valdemar points out that the Lashon of the Rishonim seems to indicate that it's that Chazal were concerned that once a person would get involved in addressing his pain, his aggravation, so then it would lead to being matir isurim, and tzchik samanim is one of those isurim. It's a gzeira, and not if we permit him, he'll and he will come to assume that people will see what he's doing. They'll see that he's taking medication. They'll come to assume that Kadosh Baruch Hu was makel on isurim, even isur deiraisa for any kind of physical pain. This Mahalach of Rav Waldenberg explains one of the sadistic issues and ways of understanding the extent of this gezeira. One of the problems we have is that in Shin Chof Zayin, there Shulchan Aruch says that if a person has a muscle pain, hachayish b'mosnav, he has pains in his hips, and lo yasuch shemen mechaymes, avosachu shemen levado, avoloy b'shemen very mishum the mukham milsad l'refu kovin. He can't use different kinds of oils because those are l'refu kovin. However, by using oils, you're not going to come to grind herbs. You can't make oil out of herbs. You can't make oil from herbs. So it would sound like from this Shulchan Aruch that it's not gezeira shem yasachik b'samavonim. It's you can't have any refu at all, even if this refu is not going to lead to grinding down herbs. And on the other hand, he has, and similarly, he has in Siv Chof of Shin Chof Ches that one cannot make, one cannot put wine inside. Person has a certain eye ailment, can't put wine. Yeah, how is wine going to lead to Siv Chof? On the other hand, the Siv Mem Gimel. Shulchan Aruch says that there used to be a refuah that we used to put turn cups over. If you put overturned cups on one's stomach, so it was thought that that would reduce some stomach ailments. All right. However, they understood it. However, it worked. I'm sure it worked for some period of time. Otherwise, they would have stopped doing it. They would. So, how will turning cups over in your stomach lead to tzchikas samavonim? That's mutter. Shikol echad me'elu ein oisim b'samavonim kedei shenochash l'tzchika. So Shulchan Aruch says it's not part of the gezeira because he can't make glass out of tzchikas samavonim. So this is steering Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to wine, so Shulchan Aruch didn't say you don't make wine tzchikas samavonim. You won't come to tzchikas samavonim. Shulchan Aruch said you can't use wine as an eye salve. What do you do with such a stira? So the Mishnah Berurah's mahalach is that one has to distinguish between ailments that have a medicinal, I'm sure the right term I'm using, that have a chemical part to the therapy. If a person has an ailment and part of the ailment is, and part of the refuah is to put wine, and sometimes the refuah will be to put medication, so one can't even begin with the wine. But if one has a machla, and the only way to deal with a machla is to give a massage, the only way to deal with a machla is to use glass cups, so then one's allowed to address that machla. Right, so l'chayra, this mahalach of the Mishnah Berurah is very well borne out by the Rav Oldenburg Sohara. A person has a machla, and that machla could end up that a person will grind. So then I can't deal with the machla at all, even though what I'm doing right now is not going to yield to, I'm not, if I run out of it, I'm going to end up grinding. No, but if I deal with it right now, since part of the therapy of this machla sometimes is chik samavon. It's a very important mahalach halacha lemasa, this Mishnah Berurah, because a person has different kinds of, let's say a person does have some kind of shoulder pain or something. So you have to know medicine. If you can deal with the shoulder pain by doing some kind of massage, and or sometimes by rubbing in some kind of ointment, so then you can't even do the massage. But if this kind of ailment is always only dealt with by some kind of manipulation and is never addressed by some kind of medication. I'm not sure there's such a thing anymore, because you can always take Tylenol, you can always take an Advil. So I'm not sure. But l'chor, that's how Eilam is. that if there's some kind of disability, some kind which is only dealt with in a non-medicinal fashion, so then one would be allowed to do that on Shabbos.
Could one be mechalik by saying, because like a lot of these medications will address the pain, even like the gels or the ointments, like Voltaren gel or like Celebrex or whatever, like they'll address the pain, but they won't inherently cure the cause of the pain.
Right. So I don't see that distinction. I don't see in this form of distinction whether it's only takes care of symptoms or actually. I don't see the distinction.
Also, if it alleviates like inflammation, then by definition, it probably is addressing the.
That's right, yeah.
But shoulder pain, as opposed to eye, bringing an eye salve with the wine, is an even more step removed from Shechikas Avamonim. But shoulder pain, you say, okay, there's a massage, and you can also do it with Advil, and then if somehow you have herbs in your house, which we don't have but nowadays, but. Herbs in your house, then you might do it. So not taking the Advil, so that's a step removed. For the eye solvent, you're putting in a wine, a solvent thing, and then the next is grinding up. So there is a step removed. Should there be some room to be able to?
I don't see in the Svarim that distinction. I think that the way Rav Waldenberg explains the Rishonim, that distinction is not significant. Because once a person gets hits, once he gets involved, he'll take the extra step. But I'm not even sure if the distinction is that worthy, because whether you go from one manipulation and then to an entirely different manipulation, is that different than going from one kind of what you'd call medicinal to another? I'm not sure that's a significant distinction.
Sure, there must be a difference between, like, if you just feel a little thing and you give your arms like a little rub or something, between things like getting on your back and someone giving you a pounding massage. There must be a difference between, you know,
right? No.
The derech, you know.
Yeah, no, something which is not, it has to be something which is clearly seen as a refuah. That we'll get to. It has to be clearly seen as a refuah. Person, if it's not, like Mar says, you take a machal briyim. A guy has a bad cold. So whenever he has bad cold, so then he pumps up in grapefruits and oranges. So that's a machal briyim. It's not clearly seen as a refuah. So the same thing over here. It has to be clearly seen as a refuah. Good. So that's the Iser. Now we'll discuss some of the. Then there's one major issue which is raised in this in the context of refuah. Rav Avraham Chaim Noah. Avraham Chaim Noah is one of the great Yerushalmi Gedolim. He's known to most of us because he was the Bar Plukta of the Chazanish on Shurim, but his godless went far beyond Shurim. He left us several Svarim. He was the original Badi Ashulchan, I think. There wasn't one before him. And his Svarim are on Hilchus Shabbos. He was following, it seems that he was following the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. I don't think he finished up at all. I think he just gave us Tefillah, Brachos, and Shabbos, maybe some Yom Tov. So Rav Chaim Noah, in his footnotes, so there he discusses that what you alluded to, does the Easter still apply nowadays? Because who does Tzchikas HaMonim nowadays? So that was his question. The Rav Waldenberg dismisses the question. He says that people are still doing Tzchikas HaMonim. He says he hasn't gone around the little vinkulach of Yerushalayim. He says he was still growing herbs at that time. I still remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael in 73, I still remember there was still Svaradish Chunot within Yerushalayim, even before the area before what is now Givat Shaul was a very, very quaint Svaradi village, and there you'd walk through there and the aroma was full of herbs. They were growing herbs. They were growing and grinding. So he said, Rav Chaim Noah is not so up to date. We're still grinding herbs. But nevertheless, Rav Chaim Noah raises the question. He says, is this a situation where we would say, Botla si bosa, botla takanta? And he marshals the famous Tosfos in Beya, that says two Tosfos in Beya, that Tosfos says one's allowed to dance in Yom Tov now, because we're no longer misakin klishir. And Tosha says in earlier in Bein Dafav they were allowed to have mayim megulim because we're no longer nervous about the snakes leaving the venom in the water. And there are different ways of, there are different lines in the Tosfos. On one or two lines, he seems to say, "Botla si basa, botla takanta." It's a surprise, it goes against the Gemara. And in some places, he seems to say that when the takana was originally established, it was established only in an area where there were snakes, and now kol el mekula became that kind of an area. You mean the second nusach does not in any way raise the question, but it would only raise the question if there were clauses in the original takana that allowed for not following the takana in certain areas. But the Tosfos towards the end of the Masechta that says we no longer fix kelim, so Rav Chaim Noah says, nope, following that Tosfos, we should be makel on Schich Samavonim. Rav Shechter points out that when this question was raised to the Rav, he said, we don't understand the Tosfos. So you can't build halachas based on the Tosfos. We don't understand it, because against the Gemara, Balasi Basle Balatakanta. So Tosfos says, Balasi Basle, it's a very, very difficult Tosfos. We don't have a teretz for the Tosfos. So therefore, we don't pass it based on it. So, but Rav Chaim Noah points out that the Rosh in a tshuva explains that the Tosfos obviously was aware of the Gemara that Badla Sibasa Loi Badla Takanta, but the Rosh explains that there are different kinds of Nuschos for Isuri de Rabbanon. Sometimes Chazal made an Isid Rabbanon and it was Satum was closed, they didn't explain it at all. In those situations, even if they explain later on, the Rambam writes that was the Malach of Chazal. When they would make takonas, they would not explain the reason right away. They would only explain the reason a year later. They would evaluate whether Efshar Tzima Lamoidva, and then if they saw that Efshar Tzima Lamoidva, then they would explain it. But since the takona was first established without any explanation, so therefore it became a takona that had no exceptions to it. However, sometimes Chazal were misaking takonas and they explained their reason. For example, the example of the Rosh, I think he gives, I don't remember, is, let's say, Mayim Achronim. Tosfos says that we no longer have to do Mayim Achronim, right? Because Tosfos says Mayim Achronim is a takona because of the fear that the salt will cause blindness. We don't have that salt anymore. So therefore, apparently, Tosfos understood that particular takana was established and the reason was given bishato. So once the reason was given bishato, so then the reason became a clause, became a tanai in the takana. And if the clause no longer pertained, then the takana would fall by the wayside. Rav Shechter many years ago suggested that it could be that there were situations when Chazal had to explain their reason. For example, he said it could be that when it comes to Emiraktin, right? So how could Chazal say that on a day when there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, we're going to have less Simchas Yom Tov, right? So therefore, they had to explain that there was a reason. They were concerned about it. They were concerned about Tikkun Klei Shir. But in a situation where they didn't have to explain, so then it remained as a Botla Sibosam Loi Botla Takanta. Sometimes you see that Chazal established their takonas and they made many conditions to takonas. One example which Rav Shechter points out is Ein Mafligim B'Sfina. You can't go in a boat 3 days before Shabbos. Right? Why not? Because it'll take away from one's own Shabbos. So one shouldn't have. This comes up very often that a person will want to have the surgery close to Shabbos. Why? Because they want to have time to recuperate. They don't lose time from work, so they want to be able to recuperate over the weekend. So the halacha is much more careful. It's a very important reorientation in one's mind. The halacha is that you don't want to lose any Shabbos. So therefore, when a person has to have surgery, he should have it done on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but not on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Either because the closer one is to the surgery, the greater chance that one will have to be mechallel Shabbos in order to take care of something, so you want to avoid that. Or the different reasons given in the Chazal, given in the Gemara and the Rishonim, or because of the Onik Shabbos was going to be missing Onik Shabbos. Halacha l'maisa is very often difficult to accommodate this, because very often doctors have set days when they do surgery. Hospitals have set days when they allow the doctor to do surgery. So, and usually the doctor's schedule is such that he doesn't have, usually the doctors that you want to do the surgery are not the ones that have wide open schedules. So usually you'll end up not having much of a choice. But when a person does have a choice, then they should not schedule close to Shabbos, because in our orientation, it's better to lose a few days of work than to lose the next Shabbos. So in that din of not going in a boat close to Shabbos, so Chazal said, but if it's not an ocean liner, if it's a river, okay, if it's so Rav Shechter points out that that was a takana that was made with nimukim, with caveats. So therefore, he says it is a takana where the reason was given together with the takana. That would be an example where we'd say botla sibasa, botla takanti. One suggested that lebasa. So coming back to Avraham Chaim Noah, he's saying when it comes to the Easter of taking medication on Shabbos, so there Chazal didn't explain to us. And therefore, this is one of the situations we say, Botla Sibasa Loi Botla Takanto. Right, that's the Rav Avraham Chaim Noah himself, by the way, when he said it was incorrect before, Rav Avraham Chaim Noah himself says that he thinks people are still grinding Simonim. That's the Rav Aldenberger writes that, but when I reread Rav Chaim Noah's piece, he writes it himself also. So that's why Halacha L'maisa, even though you will find every so often tshuvas that say that there are positions that hold that this is one of the examples of Bodla Sibasa Bodla Takanta. So even though that's not a mainstream position, but every so often you'll see the tshuva that will say, and when it's tariff, that sheet that says that it no longer applies, even though it's not a mainstream position, which one could be semich on in and of itself. There is a famous Ha'or of the Vilna Goyim, which is clearly seen in the beginning of Ksuba, said that Chazal, even when they gave us the reasons, may not have given us all of their reasons. So that's shot in Bolo Sibosa, like Bolo Sibosa they gave us, doesn't mean it's out the that we said before.
I told of
token,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if one were to take like an anvil or something, they're not equal to kind of, they did it in a day after, it's not usually like they crushed it up, ain't token off our token. Would that be when they like sprinkle it in a drink, or they, I don't know, they took it in another manner, they able to take
so to take it on your day shinoi is a machlokas of poskim, but I wouldn't say you should grind it up. That still needs a drabanan. I would say that
ain't token
after token,
or
that still needs a drabanan. But might not be used to but the way that, but to take it to put it, the medicine in yogurt and apple juice or applesauce, that's one of the suggestions of taking machine to machlekes. The Rav Reisha did not accept that mahalach. There is a possible kula that Ayidei Shinui. Why? What's the basis for the kula? Because the Gemara says that if a person wants to take an eye salve and needs an eye salve in Shabbos, so he should prepare the eye salve before Shabbos. So the I think also Rav Chaim Noah says, what's the, why if I do it before Shabbos does it make any difference? So he says because that's a shinui. Normally it's, you prepare the salve by putting on, you prepare the salve every Shabbos is the shinui. So based on that understanding of that Gemara, there are Achronim who say that if I put it in applesauce, that's also a shini. Rav Moshe didn't think that was correct. Rav Moshe thought that the reason why that was a specific shinui, that it was prepared in a different way. So since I'm not preparing the normal way, therefore it will not lead me to prepare medicine in a way that's osur. But to say that we're making every single shinui, he thought that was a big chiddush, which should have been recorded earlier.
You said that Aram Kaina holds that Butlas is also about the Takanta because the reason isn't given by
Yeah.
What about the Shamayabo
Latoke? In other words, no, it means it wasn't given at the time when they made the Takana. when the Gemara recorded the reason, right? But when Chazal announced the Takana, Chazal announced the Takana making Isir Av Samamonim. Did at that time they announce it? So, for example, the Gemara Shechter explains when it comes to the Takana not to be Maflik Besvina, so there are many details. So they had to explain. They gave the reason B'Shas Maisa. But the Rambam writes most of the time Chazal did not explain the reason B'Shas Maisa because they didn't want people to learn that they were exceptions to the rule, and they only gave us the reason a year later.
So B'chara then, in an exceptional case, like if you're a Rav of a shul and you're someone who the tzibur depends on, and you have a headache, and you know shul's not going to be really gishmak for people. If your rabbi has a headache, it's going to be very low energy.
Take care of you. We'll give it drasha.
Put him in avodah man.
There'll be more gishmak for everybody. What do you mean?
You'll insist on giving the drasha, and then it'll be. So then you put apple on applesauce, right? Yeah. I mean, that me must have the sheet that's above.
I don't know. It depends on where the drasha is, maybe. I don't know.
Was Ramosha Mako at all in taking medicine either for Aide Shino? There was if you're making
well, course, that it sounds like they could be that they could be the Shulchan Aruch discusses preparing it earlier. So it sounds like that's it would be a Shino Bidera Hachanasa. Sounds like it would be Mako, yeah. So that's one of the again we began by explaining the Iser. We discuss now whether the Isha still pertains. We discuss that it pertains only when there's a mechush ba'alma. Obviously, if a person is a chole shein masakana, in other words, he's a chole, he's nafal lemishkam, Chazal didn't say he can't take medicine. He can even do Nisa Rabban on that. He certainly can take medicine. Only when it's a bori b'mechash ba'alma. And then we explain that the Isha may be broader than just being the fear of going from a pill to see a samavanim. And then we explain that it would apply in any kind of illness where there's an option of al yidei samavanim, even though the particular therapy is not samavanim. So the next thing we'll take up is the various kulas. So one kula we mentioned, and that's mentioned in the Svarim, is the kula of shinoi. And the next school that we'll open up next week in Mir Tashem is the what the Svarim call Margal Defumi De Inshu. There's a well-known suggestion that if I began taking it Erev Shabbos, then I can continue taking it on Shabbos. So that we'll discuss. That was Rishon McKluger discusses that, and it's a much debated comment. All right, and then we'll go on to Amir